There could be a deal in the works to buy Yahoo.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. For the second time in under 3 years, Yahoo may be the target of an outside takeover bid. Reporter Janet Babin joins us live from North Carolina Public Radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Who might be interested in buying Yahoo?
Well, there's word from some of the wires and elsewhere that some private equity firms are mulling a bid to partner to take over Yahoo or to shop it around to media companies like AOL and News Corp. I mean, Yahoo's been struggling for several years now to compete with search giant Google on several fronts. And when we talk about Yahoo, we think of search for some of us, but many people, 600 million people, according to the company, use Yahoo as their homepage, not their search engine. And the company struggled to turn those homepage users into revenue dollars somehow, and that's made Yahoo vulnerable, as you said. Second time in 3 years that we're hearing about Yahoo takeover talk.
Janet, if Yahoo has struggled with this, why are other companies so interested?
Well, Bill, what these companies want is Yahoo's reach. It's not so much about search. I mean, how we conduct online searches is changing. I mean, yesterday, Microsoft's Bing search engine announced it's going to use Facebook data to make its searches more relevant. But Yahoo's users are still worth a lot of money to media companies that can, you know, figure out how to turn them into revenue somehow. And that's why there's all this interest.
Janet Babin reporting live. Thank you, Janet.
Thank you, Bill.
The government financial bailout known as TARP is relying too much on private contractors. That's according to a report this morning from the panel that oversees TARP. The panel's new chairman is Democratic Senator Ted Kaufman of Delaware.
Clearly, you could have a contractor or subcontractor doing business in a way that was illegal or fraud or things like that that you just flat out cannot check.
The Treasury Department says it didn't have enough government staff to get TARP up and running quickly. It had to rely on contractors. We told you last week the owner of the Boston Red Sox was about to buy England's most successful soccer club. So why has a Texas court blocked the deal? Here's the BBC's Alex Capstick.
Boston Red Sox owner John Henry flew into London late last night to complete his purchase of the Liverpool Soccer Club. He'd been given the go-ahead to seal the deal early yesterday by Britain's High Court. But at the last minute, a court in Dallas, Texas, granted a restraining order to the current American owners of the Liverpool team, Tom Hicks and George Gillette. They claim the club had been dramatically undervalued. Tom Cruise is an expert in litigation at the Texas branch of Baker and Hostetler. He believes that once the American court hears both sides of the story, the order will be lifted.
Texas courts, like all American courts, have over 100 years of precedent that we respect the decisions of other courts, including the British courts, and I think that's going to be a fatal blow to this order eventually.
But it means the club's in danger of missing Friday's deadline to repay the Royal Bank of Scotland a $385 million loan. And if it misses that, then the bank can place Liverpool into the equivalent of Chapter 11 bankruptcy. In London, I'm the BBC's Alex Capstick for Marketplace.
Stock markets are higher in Europe and Asia this morning, and that follows a 75-point jump in the Dow yesterday. What is not higher is the U.S. dollar. It's down versus major currencies today and at a 15-year low against the yen.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. By the Wall Street Journal Weekend, offering four sections of ideas and information available at newsstands every Saturday. And by LendingTree, providing up to four loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE.
If you want to get ahead, get a hat. That was a British advertising slogan from the 1940s, when virtually every adult male wore headgear. Men's hats fell from fashion in the 60s, but there's been a revival, much to the relief of one offbeat little shop in the southern English town of Bridport. Marketplace's Europe correspondent Stephen Beard paid a visit.
There's been a Snooks Outfitters in Bridport for over a century. Today, Roger Snook upholds the family tradition, supplying accessories and advice for the well-dressed English gentleman.
Now, the art of taking snuff, offer it to the nose, one side, and inhale, then t'other, and inhale.
snuff and sock suspenders, cravats and cummerbunds. But Snook's most important product by far is the hat.
Elegance, class, style, character. It is just a magnificent appendage to have on your head.
Convincing his customers of that is Snook's mission in life.
Would you mind just slipping that one on, sir? Thank you.
He stocks a vast range, trilbies and fedoras, Homburgs, bowlers, boaters and a huge array of Panamas, including the Panama planter.
Beautiful shape. With a cheroot in your mouth, you'd look plantation owner guaranteed, sir.
That's the planter.
Men's hat sales began to plummet in Britain when JFK arrived in the White House hatless. The decline quickened here throughout the 60s, in line with the slacker approach to dress. But Snook says things are now looking up.
I'd say over the last 7 years, my sales have gone up 70%.
And it's not just Snooks. Nationally, hat sales have jumped to well over $80 million a year. No one can fully explain it, but men's hats are staging a comeback in Britain.
The wide-brim English trilby is to your satisfaction, sir?
It's a beautiful hat.
Roger Snook has just organised the UK's first hat festival, and it was a big success. He's confident that his deeply traditional little business, selling snuff and sock suspenders, will survive the 21st century, thanks to the hat.
May I wish you a long and happy association with your new hat, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
At Snook's Outfitters in Bridport, England, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And finally, airline passengers might carry liquids once again. Yesterday, Los Alamos National Laboratory demoed a $14 million machine that scans the liquid in your carry-on luggage. In 15 seconds, it can tell you whether it's a bomb or, say, Head and Shoulders. USA Today says the machine can also tell the difference between Pepsi and Squirt, between red wine and white, which sounds like another opportunity for data mining. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
Economic indicators are practically household words nowadays, right? We all know gross domestic product. But for some enterprising economists, they're just mainstream noise.
You know, kind of the Justin Bieber, Lady Gaga on the radio all the time.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Alternative indexes on our series Economy 4.0. That's next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.